I want to exhort about three different messages today concerning how the Lord ended last year. He culminated so much of who we are, what we are, where we're going, and what the future holds. He brought so much revelation in the final 3 or 4 months, and there was a very large, big God purpose for what he's doing and saying. But I want to share a little bit for expectation of what God is going to do with us. I want you to turn to Isaiah 6. Listen, God has given us some very, very rich treasure in this house. Amen. And though it may not be seen yet to the world, I promise you, God's going to open this thing. He's going to open this treasure chest to the world. Right now, he's filling the treasure chest. He's going to open it to the world. But he's given us some amazing things. We can never take this lightly. The kind of revelation, the mysteries, and the purpose for which he's given them. Because there's a very distinct purpose in heaven for what God is doing right now. Amen? It's a time to be very sober. It's a time to be very awake. And it's a time to be in step, in sync. You can't lose rhythm or focus right now because things are moving quickly in the kingdom of God. And if you get out of sync, you can lose valuable time, and we can't do that right now. Amen? There's a lot of grace for us when we do, but it's a lot better just to stay in sync. Okay, Isaiah 6. All right, this is a throne room encounter. The same throne that John was caught up, the same four living beasts that John saw, they both had basically the same counter, and they both had the same experience from it. It said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, each one having 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, with 2 he did fly. Now that is the 4 living creatures, by the way, of Revelation 4. The Bible says they're full of eyes, they had 6 wings. They are always present in front of the throne. In Revelation 4, they cried, holy, holy, holy. Here in Isaiah 6, they cried, holy, holy, holy. Those are the 4 living beasts. Amen? They sit in front of the throne, and all they do all the time is get revelation. Unfolding revelation of him who was, him who is, and him that is to come. Imagine the times we get revelation and go, wow, they get it every second of all eternity. That's all they do is sit in front of God and get revelation. Here, when Isaiah was caught up unto the throne of God, they were getting a revelation at this particular time that wasn't during Isaiah's time. Those of you that know the history a little bit, Isaiah was sent to prophesy the children of Israel into captivity, to go to in captivity of Babylon for 70 years. This is preceded the captivity. He was prophesying, you know, you think all is good, but you're all about to go into captivity. That was his word. He was sent to prophesy. But notice what the seraphims were seeing. He said, and one cried to another, holy, 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 the whole earth. Say, the whole earth is full of the glory. That sounded really good, but during that time, there was no glory. The glory had already departed off of Israel. In fact, they were in such apostasy during that time that God brought Isaiah, one of the very few times that God has ever commissioned somebody directly from the throne room of heaven. Most of the time, he commissioned them in the earth. He'd come down and commission them. Here, Isaiah was brought up before the throne room of God. He gets directly commissioned by God at the throne room of God. Amen? And during this time, Isaiah was caught up. These 4 living creatures, these seraphims, he calls them seraphims, that John calls them the 4 living creatures, the same creatures. They're getting a revelation of a different time frame than Isaiah's in. So in other words, Isaiah gets caught up into the throne of God. We talked about this a lot, about God being him who was, him who is,
and him that is to come. Well, he got caught up into him that is to come because the seraphim were looking at something completely different than what was actually going on in their day. Amen. And when he got caught up, these four living creatures were seeing a time in the earth that the whole earth will be full of the glory of God. I want to tell you something, not even in Jesus' day, the whole earth was full of the glory of God. That was actually a time of persecution. There in Jerusalem and all the surrounding areas, yes. Everywhere Jesus went, yes. Everywhere the apostles went, yes. But still, the whole earth was not full of the glory of God. We're living in a day and hour that the whole earth will be filled with the full glory of God. It'll go to every corner with the help of media, social media, and everything, and the seven spirits of God and the body of Christ operating together globally. The whole earth will be full of the glory they were looking at, the glory they were seeing. So much so, it said the post of the door trembled at the presence of what they were seeing. Isn't that glorious? We're living in that time and in that generation. It's about to release. It's not going to be a long time, but it's going to be a short time. God said, I'll shorten the days, but it's going to be powerful and more will be done in a very short time frame that was done in whole generations because of what will release. That door that shook, look at that verse. It said, the post of the door moved at the voice of the seraphim that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. They were witnessing something. Isaiah was a very unique prophet because Isaiah not only prophesied to his generation, he also prophesied of Christ, but he also embedded within his prophecies were prophesying of a final last day move of God and the functions of that move. Amen? Isaiah himself got caught up in him who was, him that is to come. Now go to Revelation 4. So John now, watch this. John, he's unique in the fact that he's going to go through the exact same door Isaiah went to, and he's going to go to the exact same throne room that Isaiah went to, and he's going to see the exact same thing that Isaiah saw. But this time, he was there to bear witness of it. Isaiah wasn't witnessing. The seraphims were witnessing during Isaiah's encounter. John actually comes to witness it. He gets caught up and he goes through the same door, the door that trembled at the presence of the Lord. That door trembled because it's that door that God has opened for the church of Philadelphia in this last day. A last day church, God has opened a door. Like no other door in heaven, a door to this dispensation, and where the whole earth will be full of the glory of God. Amen? So, verse 1 in Revelation 4, after this I looked, and behold, the door was opened. It's amazing that Revelation 1:8, go there real quick, we'll come back to Revelation 4. The Lord introduces himself in a way in Revelation 1 that he has not introduced himself in any other book of the Bible. In verse 8, he begins to say, greetings. So he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the ending. That's the Lord. You cannot find that anywhere else except the book of Revelation. He said, I was in the Spirit. Verse 10, on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a voice of a trumpet saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, first and the last. Say Alpha, Omega, beginning, the end, first and last. The only other time that God is described like that is in the book of Isaiah. And it calls him the first and the last.
Why is that so important? Because he's revealing the end time. He says, look, I'm Alpha, I'm beginning, but I'm also Omega, I'm the end. When he presents himself to John in his glorified state, he says, listen, I'm Alpha, Omega, I'm here to show you those things that are to come. This is 2,000 years ago. John's going to see something that you and I haven't even seen yet. And most of it we won't see. We'll be up in the heaven. Marriage Supper of the Lamb. That is going to be one long feast. God is revealing himself as beginning and the end, first and last. But see, Isaiah sees this too. Because whenever you get caught up in the glory, you're going to get a revelation of not only God who is, God who was, but God is to come. Moses saw it. Isaiah saw it. John saw it. Peter, James, and John saw it. You cannot be exposed to the glory of God and not have a revelation of him that is to come. You'll be given understanding of things that are to come. God has given us understanding of things that are to come. Because we're existing in a certain level of glory, there's another level coming that we're all going to be crowned with at this last hour, in which we are going to see the fullness of him who was, who is, and is to come. That's important now, because when he's standing there in John, he goes, I'm here to show you what's about to happen. You're going to be a witness. And so John gets caught up in him that is to come. Now go back to Revelation 4. So John gets caught through a door. That's the same one Isaiah went through. Because for what did he see? He saw the seraphim crying, holy, 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 the whole earth is full of glory. He gets caught up. Listen, you need to understand this. Isaiah gets caught up into the throne room of God, but that throne was witnessing something of another generation. They were seeing something. God was revealing something to the seraphim. And Isaiah was there watching them saying, holy, holy. And that door shook. That's the door John went through. The same throne. But see, John goes 2,000 years in front. He actually witnesses in person, in body, in soul. The seraphim are just seeing it, but John gets fast forwarded there. He is a participant of an event yet to unfold. He was crying. The elders were talking to him. He was watching it unfold. He said, come over here, let me show you this. He was weeping in intercession. He was participating. Amazing. When you get in the glory, all limitation is taken off. That's what separates anointings from the glory. Anointings you flow in, the glory takes the limitation off. Because you're no more limited to the earth and the laws of physics that govern it. You get freed from it. You get freed from time. So you can see outside of time the way God sees. You get freed so you get to see things that other people can't see. You get to know things that other people don't know. That's why the Lord, every time in every situation, he was always in front of it. You couldn't just surprise him. He goes, oh, wow, that was shocking. He already knew he could finish most of their sentences for them. When they would come, he already knew what they were carrying, the conversations they had. He was always standing in front of every circumstance. That kept him out of a lot of trouble when the devil's trying to kill him. In John chapter 11, his best friend at the point of death, Lazarus, he said, we got to go immediately. Most of us would take off immediately. He stood and waited 2 days. And Mary and Martha, they had a serious attitude by the time they confronted him. If you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If you would have come when I summoned you. It's amazing when you get close to somebody and get familiar with them. Think that you can know them better than they know the Father. You don't get to direct things. He said, did I not say you would see the glory of God? This sickness was not unto death. He told Thomas, he's just sleeping. You ever heard a confession? Martha, by this time, he stinketh. None of that stuff moved him. But he knew the Jews had laid wait to stone him. He saw it. He saw the trap. He saw the enemy struck Lazarus. He saw the trap on the way. He stopped. You can read about it. Revelations, he didn't go. He waited 2 days. When they thought he wasn't going to come, then he takes off and he goes. He's operating in that which is to come. That's the kind of light and illumination that we will all walk in this last hour. How would you like to get up and be in front of your day? You ever saw that movie Next? So the movie Next, he could actually live 2 minutes in front of everything. So he's always 2 minutes in front. But it was an interesting thing because he could see it and all end up being a bomb and everything. I mean, he could see it, but he's living 2 minutes in front. The Lord was always living in front. We usually get blindsided and we endure the hardship as good soldiers and get back and pull our bootstraps up. How does you like to live without being blindsided? Because this is an operation that belongs to the sons and daughters of God. And when John gets caught up, he gets caught up in him that is to come. And the seraphim, they're saying the same thing they were saying in Isaiah day. They're saying, holy, holy, holy. Now, what did they say? Go to Revelation 4. They said something. It was very interesting. So John, he goes through this door, he gets caught up in heaven, he sees the throne of God, 7 lamps, and he sees the seraphim, verse 7. And the first beast was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third beast had the faces of a man, the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. These are the seraphim, by the way. And the four beasts which had 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes, and they rest not in day. They rest not day and night saying, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Notice what their revelation is. Which was, which is, and is to come. They're constantly seeing. The reason why you and I can't see is because we're not in the face of God. If we're in the face of God, we get illuminated. If we're not, the enemy puts one trap after another, and we fall headlong. How many business decisions have we all been a part of that were all glowing? Gloriously glowing. Nothing could possibly go wrong. You step in and it's like, man, my trouble's over. And 3 months later, the trouble is just beginning. How would you have liked to seen that before you got allured into it? It's glorious, it's awesome, and then all of a sudden it turns like, what happened, God? Then you start going to blame God. Why did you do this to me? Why did you lead me to this? I didn't. You did. How about a relationship? God just knew he was Mr. Wonderful. You get into this, everything's, there's Mr. Wonderful there. Just man of your dream. Oh, this is it. I know this is it. And all of a sudden, because you can't see. We need a light that's from above. Anointing can see. Amen. Say see. To know the end from the beginning. You can think about your own life. All the different things you could have seen. And yet there's this operation that exists for us. Amen. That's in the glory of him that was, him that is, and him that is to come. Amen? See, when you move into the glory of God, there's no limitation. You're not bound by time anymore. You're not bound to your own intellect anymore. You might be smart, but nobody is smarter than God. Listen, and the devil's been around a long time. Though he's a defeated being, he's highly, highly skilled a deception. And if you play in his arena, you're going to get burned. He's very skilled at what he does. But God exists at a much higher place. Amen? I want you to go to Isaiah 41. So the two people who talks about him that was, who is to come, first, last, Alpha, Omega, was Isaiah and John. Isn't it amazing that Isaiah and John both get caught up to the same throne, seeing the same four living creatures getting exposed to a glory that's not of this world. Listen, my friend, God is going to expose us. Imagine how productive we're going to be when we can see the enemy before he shows up. So Isaiah, he has a revelation. Isaiah 42 is where I want you to be. I'm going to walk you through the remainder of this service, the revelations that Isaiah received and he prophesied of this final remnant body operating. Isaiah 42 and 9. This is from the New Living Translation. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Watch this. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. New Living says, I will tell you the future before it happens. Say, I will tell you the future before it happens. That's the future of your day, the future of your week, the future of your month, the future of your year, the next coming dispensation. I will tell you before it happens. When you're a friend of God, God said, I'm not going to hide anything as long as my friend is in the earth. He would not hide what he was doing from Abraham because Abraham was his friend. When you're a friend of God, you have a right to know what's going to happen in the future events, because God will not withhold that from you. If you can't hear from God, you don't need to be whining, murmuring, complaining, woe is me, or self-pity. You just need to get in front of his face. First thing you do is say, you know what? If I can't hear from you, it is your nature to show me. It is your nature to reveal yourself. It is your nature to show the future. That's what you do. Amen? If you can't hear from him, you got to get in front of him. Because if we live apart from this, what happens is generation, if we're living apart from him, you can't hear from him. If you're in a guessing situation, when you're in front of him, you'll know. I'll tell you the future. Somebody needs to hear this. Somebody desperately needs to hear God. Don't try to hear God when you're frustrated. You'll hear the wrong voice. Don't ever think that God will speak in an atmosphere of frustration. He doesn't do that. If you hear something when you're in an atmosphere of frustration, when there's no peace, when there's no rest, you're hearing the wrong voice. God only speaks from that position. Amen? So the first thing you have to do is quiet the soul. Quiet the heart, because you can't hear from God if you don't get quieted. Amen? You got to get in his presence to hear from. So a lot of people get frustrated. God, I got to hear from you, because they're not living with him, and now they're in trouble. And all of a sudden, they got to hear from him immediately. God is not a fast food joint. You got to sit and wait. When I need to hear from God, I do not try to hear anything in an atmosphere of turmoil. I know better. You learn quickly as you walk with God. Now, these scriptures, when you go before the presence of the Lord, this is what I do. I have a right to the understanding. I call it the bana. It's the Hebrew word bana. Blessed is the man watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Blessed is the man hear me say, come in. She says, come, eat of my bread. Drink of the wine that I have mingled. Go in the way of the banah. Understanding. Say understanding. That's not just understanding. That is understanding of the times. That is understanding of the future. That's understanding insight to your problems. God will give you insight. That's what wisdom gives you at that table. Understanding of the insight of your situation and circumstance. She invites you to her table. That's why she said, blessed is the man watching. You gotta watch at her gate. You gotta watch at her door. You gotta watch. Because if you're not watching in her door, you're already running around still trying to do it yourself. You have to get to the point you can't do it anymore. Listen, some of us have gone there. Some are getting there. But everybody's got to get to the point that you can't do it. Because your neighbor said, you can't. That your intellect cannot supersede the will of God. Your understanding cannot supersede the will of God. It has to bow. The soul has to be dethroned. Amen. That's why blessed man watching. If you're not watching in her gate, you're already running around trying to do it yourself. Why is the blessed? Because I need what you have. I recognize I can't do this. I need the bana, the Hebrew word for understanding. I need the understanding of the time I live in. I need understanding of how to handle family situations. I need understanding how to handle church situations. I need understanding of how to handle financial situations. I need the understanding of the time we live in. Imagine if the bana was poured out over the White House right now. Because listen, man is not going to fix. Governments are not going to fix what's happening right now. The bana can. Amen? But if I was ever asked to come and pray, I'd pray. I'd get in that Oval Office and I'd pray for the bana of God to be poured out over the Oval Office. The capacity to see past what's happening. Capacity to see the traps and the situations being set over this country, because you can get in front of it. This is what's going to be so glorious about the last day church. We're going to get to walk in a continuous anointing of omnipresent omniscience. Being able to see omnipresent, being able to see into the future, being able to see things before they happen and be positioned before it happens. I will tell you the future before it happens. Amen? This is what I hold, the word I'm keeping. The crown that Christ was crowned with, the seven eyes and the seven horns. That's the omnipresent omniscience. This is what belongs to the last day church. Those of you who've been here, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you need to start listening to the website. Pronto. Isaiah 43:9, he says, go to 43. He's making this argument in chapter 40 all the way up to 53 about the idols that they're serving. He says, go ask your idol, can they tell the future? Because that's what I do. Go ask any of them to tell what's about to happen to you. Ask them. I've been telling you the end from the beginning, from the beginning. This is God's making his boast of who he is. And Isaiah captured all this. When you read Isaiah 40 through 53, it's amazing revelations in there. But most of it's about God making his point that, listen, I alone tell the future. I alone declare the end from the beginning. And all the idols that people serve, they cannot do it. Not the most intelligent universities out there. And there's a huge thing about that in our country. The elite. When you start getting to certain circles, they ask you, what schools did your children go to? What school did you go to? If you didn't go to Harvard, which I have no problem if you go to Harvard. I have a friend that goes to Harvard. He's pretty cool. But if you didn't go there, they look down on you. Your children don't go to certain schools. Listen, God has a far superior, and I have no problem with the development of the intellect, but God's intellect is far superior. I've learned a long time ago to bow mine down
Because what God's having me do, my intellect is never going to cut it. I don't care if I was Einstein. I cannot do what God's asking me to do with any level of intellect from the world system. So the only place it goes every day is bow. Bow. Why? Because I want an intellect that's far superior than any human mind. I want God's banah. I want the understanding of the ancient. I want the understanding of the future. I want to know what the brightest and most brilliant minds of the earth cannot yet perceive. Isn't that glorious? Woo! I'm not going to be sitting at his door as long as my mind's going to try to figure it out. I sit at his door because I already know I can't do this. I cannot do what you've asked me to do. What you've asked me to do sits at a king's table at the right hand of God, wisdom's table, and she'll deliver bread and wine from that table, the kind of stuff that I need to conquer here in the earth. For I cannot conquer without it. God will so orchestrate the plan of God this last hour, we will not be able to conquer without his omnipresent omniscience. Isaiah looked into it. John looked into it. When Peter, James, and John were caught up into the transfiguration, they saw his glory. They were transported into our day. And Peter goes, when I made known to you the power and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when I made known to you, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We saw him in his majestic glory. We saw him in his second coming glory. We saw things when we got caught up in the glory of the Father. We saw a future events. We saw the second coming. He writes about the second coming. He goes, I'm writing this whole epistle because of this encounter we had with the glory of the Father. I want that. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want to be on the cutting edge. What if God deposits the banal in this place and people start getting revelations of witty inventions that are yet to come? Stuff that nobody's even thought about that's going to unfold. What if he sets you in the stock market with a banal? Boy, that's a high level operation. That's hard to do. Tried that several times. Verse 18, Isaiah 43. It's pretty good, huh? Remember you not the former things, neither consider things of old. Who was that saying? It's like you got to get the past. Oh, I'm going to stay in. You cannot remember the past. I'm doing something new. Let go. Surrender. Behold, verse 19, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? That's what he's saying. Will I not reveal that to you? He's making his case. You're looking everywhere but the place you're supposed to look. That's what was setting him off. Nobody was seeking his face. He was saying, listen, I'll give you all this. I'm here to help. Oh, this is good. Go to Isaiah 44. I'm just showing you how to read Isaiah 44 through 53. It's an amazing read. You read that this week with this knowledge. Isaiah 44, verse 7. Who is like me? This kind of sounds like God. Let him step forward, New Living Translation, and prove his power. Who's like me? Step forward. He goes, come on. Let's all gather together. That's what he's saying. Come on. See what you got, Big Houston. Step forward. Let him do as I've done since the ancient of times, when I established a people and foretold and explained their future. Step forward. Tell me what's going to happen to your nation. Tell me what's going to happen to your family. Tell me where you're going to be a year from now. Tell me where you're going to be next week. Tell me when your promotion cometh. Isaiah 46 says, I make known the end from the beginning. Go to Isaiah 48. I leaven this stuff before the throne room of God. This is what I want. What do you want? I want the banah.
I want the crown of omnipresent omniscience, whatever you want to call it. That's what I want. Isaiah had the revelation of a generation that would walk in this. John saw the crown that would ultimately be released to the last day church. Do you want to keep doing things the way you're doing it? Most people don't have a clue. They live day to day in a cloud. We were not designed to live in a cloud day to day unless it was the cloud of glory. We weren't designed to live in a cloudy, just wake up, go to bed, do the same thing. We were designed to live in front of an omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient God. And we were designed to receive from Him. Amen? We were designed to walk in omniscience that's not of this world. We were designed for that. Amen? Blessed is the man that watches at my door, Proverbs 8. Waiting at the post of my door. Why? Because you need me. And until you need me, you're not going to stand at my door. Until wisdom says, until you need me, you're not going to watch at my door. You're not going to nail your ear to the doorpost of my door until you need me. Until you have burnt out yourself on you. How many of you ever burnt themselves out on yourself? Burnt yourself out on doing things your own way. Trust me, I was a master at it. It doesn't work. Isaiah 48, we'll close with this. Verse 3. I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth out of my mouth and I showed them. I did them suddenly and they came to pass. Verse 5, I have even from the beginning declared it unto you. And before it comes to pass, I will show you. You can hold that before His presence. You said you make known the end from the beginning. Before this comes to pass, you will show me. I have a right to see it. Even if nobody else can see it. I have a right, listen to this, to see things nobody else can see. You have a right to look into God and He will show you things other people do not know. Insight that can shift things. Can shift you out of where you are into where you're going. To shift the whole church and operations. To shift into a whole new way of doing things. Shift into a crown. Verse 6, I hold this stuff up in front of him. Isaiah 48, verse 6. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will you not declare it? I will now show you new things. Watch this, from this time forth. This is God speaking to this body. I will now show you new things, say new things. From this time forth, He might show you things about yourself that are in the way. New things that you've never seen before. Let's get back to the future and finances and all that. He might show you what's been in the way. It's a high possibility it includes the three letters Y-O-U. How do you know that? I read that in the book somewhere. I have found most of the time I check with me first if ME is in the way. You don't come up there with a corn with all of its shucks on and say, clothe me in glory. And God said, go back to the throne of grace and shuck the corn. You know what shuck the corn means? Peel the layers off. You're trying to go in front of me and you are layered thick with all the wrong stuff. Go back to the throne of grace and we're going to shuck the corn. Amen. They should call that shuck the corn. Or we'll call it the winnowing fork. We got to get some stuff out of the way because I can't clothe that. Amen. You got to shuck the corn to get to the wheat and then bring that wheat to me and I'll clothe it. Amen.
Because I'll show you new things from this time forth, even hidden things, which you've not previously known. I told Anna this morning, I said, you know, this Latter-day House, if people don't understand, if the church doesn't understand this Latter-day House is all about the crown, that they have no idea what God's about to do. Everything God is going to do in the last days has 100% to do with the crown that started with Abraham. He's going to fulfill all that before he returns. He's not returning to a broken church. He's going to return to a glorious bride that has been crowned as kings and priests reigning in the earth. Until that crown shows up, the last days hadn't even started yet. Not going to be long till that book is opened. Amen. Amen. A whole new apostolic reformation will begin. Get ready. Even the hidden things which you've not previously known, they are created now and not from the beginning. And Isaiah 57, thus saith the one who habiteth eternity. He sits in every place, past, present, and future. He can put you in every place by revealing himself as he who was, who is, or is to come. Amen? I'm telling you, when you get exposed to, this is what I was telling Matt, when you get exposed to the glory, you are going to see things. It's just the way it is. Amen? This is where we are. We're going to be swimming in the glory, being in front of the enemy, his devices, being in front of the world and its system, and being in front of time. My call is to get out in front of time. Because the world is governed by time. We are not. That's what I want. If you want to ask me, I want to transcend time. Only the glory realm will allow you to transcend time. There's been plenty of people who've done it. Father, thank you. This amazing glory, the amazing revelations, the amazing mysteries that are coming to fruition. Father, thank you for the body that's coming to fruition and all the parts, the functions. Thank you for what you're offering us. Thank you, Father, for what you've allowed us to see. The potential of the sons and daughters of God coming to full age joint heirship. Thank you for giving us understanding of what that looks like. Thank you for having us present at the doorway of all that that is to come. Thank you for where you have brought us. Father, thank you for where we're standing now. And thank you for where we are going. Thank you that we're in sync with you. Thank you. We're in rhythm. We're in sync. Thank you, Father. I'm asking all those that are not where they need to be. Here's the Spirit of the Lord that spoke to me. Your heart will tell you. You don't need any person to tell you. Your heart will tell you if you're in sync. It will bear witness to you. That you're in cadence, you're in rhythm with God. You're where He wants you to be. Father, clothe this house with the bana. Father, clothe this work with the bana. For you set before us an open door to the table of kings. You set before us an open door to the house of the kings. It doesn't matter
what kind of education we had. It doesn't matter who we are coming in. That crown, what matters is who we are coming out. Thank you, Father, for the glory, the banah, the fullness, the overshadowing. Amen.